What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg on this 31st day of December. Top of the hour. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
This is what we do on Sundays here. It's a and a happy new year. Happy holidays to everybody in the Druid Hills area.
Okay.
Druid Hills area. Mm-hmm. Sam, you know the song that you're listening to, right?
Okay.
You know what it's from, right? He's looking at me like I owe him money. Nah, it's the Monkees, right?
Okay.
And so Shrek, right?
See, this is the funny thing. This is where Garrett comes in and reminds us, yeah, I'm a lot younger than you guys. And he'll do this for the next couple hours. Yeah, it wasn't Shrek. But this is the actual Mickey Dolan's version isn't the one that they play in Shrek. But do you know who wrote this song?
No.
That's the reason I put this out. This song hit number one today.
Okay.
But this is a thing I have. The guy who wrote this song, there's literally a movie about him out
Neil
right
Diamond,
now.
Neil Diamond, right?
Yes.
Ah, damn. You got a movie.
What is
movie,
it with
right?
these bios that people are still living? Normally they come out after the person is gone.
Yeah.
You got Springsteen. You got Bob Dylan.
Some of the
got
people want to see what people do. They want to see how people portray them, what people think of them.
Who was that guy that they made as a chimpanzee or as a monkey or whatever?
Hmm? You
that
lost
British
me on that
star.
One.
You don't know that movie? It's like the guy, it's a biopic, but it's like they were worried. He's some big British pop star. He was big in the FIFA World, the Club World Cup. I'll look him up.
Yeah.
He's like a mega star in Britain and in Europe and some places in Europe. And I just remember on social media, it just became a thing that Americans just don't know who he is.
That's possible.
Yeah. He's just not relevant in the United States. And like the British were like really offended for some reason. I don't know. It was just like, what's going on here? Like, how do you not know who this guy is? And I objectively cannot remember who he is. And they wanted to make him more relatable, so they turned him into like a chimpanzee, and he was like with humans in the movie.
What?
Do you not remember
this? All AI stuff or what?
I don't know. It's hold on. Let me see.
No, I want to hear more about this. I know you say easy, but yeah, get the information and bring it back to us. And by the way, Sam, this segment is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe.
Okay.
Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations.
There you go.
Hang yourself some wings. It'd be a good day for some wings.
Would be.
I'm going to say this every hour. I know it's going to come off as obnoxious, but we do it because, well, it's sort of our job to let you know to be very, very careful out there. It is amateur night, and we just ain't got no time going to hospitals visiting our listeners. We do it, but we ain't got time to do it.
We prefer not to.
We prefer not to. And speaking of which, coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, 1 hour from now, we are going to hear from Mike. I want to get this right.
Lutzenkirchen. Mm-hmm.
I had rewritten it phonetically. Who is the father of Philip?
Lutzenkirchen.
We got to do a show here. You keep pronouncing that last name.
You do that, right?
Yeah,
I'm here to help.
I didn't know.
Just wave me in.
We know about the cause,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know how connected Philip Lutzenkirchen was to Cam Newton. And or how important he was.
Oh, very important.
The safety valve that he was.
Yeah, well,
during that
safety
year.
Valve, he's like the main guy. He was, you know, open and season. Garrett mentioned the come from behind, you know, win at Alabama when Auburn was behind. That amazing comeback. And so, yeah, I mean, he was Cam's guy on the team.
Okay. Well, we're going to hear from the top of the hour. Dad's going to be on here talking about the foundation, about drunk driving.
And just creating some awareness about tonight, right?
Absolutely.
Because we got people are kind of lost for what to do around here. We're not doing a peach drop this year.
And it's going to be cold as you know
there's
what
no
out
peach
there.
There's no peach drop, but it doesn't matter if it's cold. Folks are going to come out for New Year's
They're
Eve.
They're not going to come out that. Like
yeah, they will.
If it was last week's temperature, it would be a lot worse.
The only time I went to the peach drop, it was freezing out. And I went one time, and I was cured. I don't need to be out in the middle of the night. It's not just that. It was the crowd. People showed up. I mean, people show up for this. They are doing something at the Battery tonight. I don't know how all that works. Garrett, you up on what's happening at the Battery? There's something going on over there tonight.
Oh, right? No, I'm taking a nap.
And me too. I'm taking a nap too.
This is gonna be my first New Year's Eve.
You gonna sleep?
No, I ain't doing that. I can't do that. I gotta stay up to at least there. I'm still in my 30s. I can do that.
There you go.
But okay. This is my first one that I'm not actually doing something with friends or just the fiance and I. It's just gonna be the two of us.
This dude's in love. He's in stupid love.
Yeah, man. That's good, though. That's a good thing.
Mid-20s. He's kicking his boys to the side. Got to be. Yeah, I'm giving you a little thing.
I wish I was in my mid-20s still. And that was when we started working together.
he put his running buddies aside all for his lady, and, you know, it's.
Well, where's the rest of the crew at tonight? You're not with the crew?
I didn't know where Georgia Tech was going to be when they made their. When we have a big group that's going up to the mountains and stuff, and. I didn't want to sleep on a couch, so I'm like, it's okay. I'll just hang back because I travel with Georgia Tech and do that stuff, and I was going to go down with their bowl game, and we didn't know where it was going to be when they were making plans. So it actually ended up working out really well, which would be nice.
Oh, I got to tell you,
and catch up on some Z's.
He said something earlier. Garrett said something earlier that reminded me that I got to tell you. You got to say a prayer for me tonight. Yeah. Garrett, how does your dog react to fireworks? Or not at all?
Nothing really.
See, all right, you are in the minority because I'm in the majority of these people who have dogs that go spastic when the fireworks go off, and it continues. Like, they won't go to the bathroom. I can't tell you the amount of times I finally got Jessie to go out, and she gets down the stairs going to start her business, and pop, 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 and she's back up the stairs. Now you got to worry about 4 a.m. getting up and walking her. But now I have two dogs. Because McKenna's dog is with us. And this dog don't pay attention to nothing. He just walks through life like Tommy Chong. And she also reacts to fireworks. So I'm just saying, if I'm a little late tomorrow morning, I overslept.
Yeah.
But for the rest of you out there that have that, listen, I'm with you. We are all in the same gravy boat. And they got these little things you can wear and all that stuff, but I don't know if they work. Anyway, let you have the floor, man. This is when you let everybody know what's going on locally.
Oh, just a few things. Not a whole lot. I mean, because things kind of slow down when we get to this to the day anyway. A little bit of high school stuff. There's a lot of high school holiday tournaments that went on. Shout out to St. Pius Boys. They went down and played well at Sandestin, the Hilton Sandestin Beach Invitational. Good for them. South Forsyth beats Collins Hill to win the War Lodge Invitational. The boys team. The Oconee County girls win the McDonald's shootout at Hart County. Congrats to them. Grayson wins. They're playing down in Gainesville, Florida at the Florida Get Down. They played South County, Virginia, won that one. That's their 13th straight win. And I had a chance to go by one event that was over in Marietta, Lemon Street Classic, which was just 3 days of basketball with teams from the local area around the state. I told you the Tift County folk were coming. Peach County for the Fighting Randy McMichaels were there yesterday. Houston County, and then some teams from out of state like Blythewood from South Carolina, some from Florida and the Carolinas. Lemon Street was the pre-integration high school the black students attended in Marietta before they integrated. And so they do that to honor the memory of those schools and those teams back then. And so it's kind of a cool thing they do. Also, they gave scholarships away to certain players on some of the teams through a grant from the Ludacris Foundation. So it was cool to see them do that as well, you know, just to help, you know, young people if they're on their way to college, here's something from this tournament that's going to help you. And all parents appreciate all cash for college. And so that's something that happened as well. There's a help wanted sign out way down in South Georgia for a head football coach. Yesterday, in a release that came out yesterday, Camden County's coach, John Lindsay, stepped down as football coach due to personal reasons, unforeseen reasons, and that's all they will say about it. But the school system is committed to providing a positive and stable athletic experience for students. Plans are underway to ensure leadership and continuity within the football program, and additional information will be shared when appropriate. Interested candidates, you reach out to the athletic director. So if you're interested in being at a school that is really usually very talent-rich, in a winning program, you got to win down there if you're going to Camden County, because they're in that same region with Valdosta and Colquitt and Lowndes, and you better be winning if you're down there. Because
Y'all need to get Russ Probst on the phone.
Get
him on the phone.
Look at Garrett's look over there.
Get Russ Probst on the phone.
You know, it's that, isn't it ironic?
What?
That he's available and looking mm-hmm. to coach some more and just won another state championship in Alabama now.
Yeah.
He's fresh off another state championship.
If you want people to pay attention to what's going on down there that don't normally pay attention to high school football, send him there. And then have him battle with Valdosta and all those other little schools that you mentioned down there.
That would be delicious.
Do you know what I mean?
Every Friday night would be like a spectacle.
I bet you Garrett
man.
Or Day-Day, one of them two would go down there if you put him up in a nice room.
Day-Day, Eric loves to be the land cruiser. He loves to go down there with the South Georgia, right?
He's all over creation, man. He went down. He did a Valdosta Lounge 2 years ago.
Yeah. What do you think of that, though? That, you know, I mean, yeah, he's familiar with that part of the state. But the people
Rush Probst?
Yeah,
he might as well. Depends. I mean, you'd want to win. I mean, you talk about baggage. That guy's got some baggage.
Yeah.
But
what's he going to do with the baggage that's going to keep him from coaching, which is all they really want him to do? Is he got an indictment over his shoulder
up? He's going to bring a magnifying glass. That's the other thing, though.
People look at him differently.
So he'll have to keep it clean.
But he said that every step he's been, you know that old adage about the scorpion and the frog.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah, it's basically what it is. He's a scorpion. You just got to be careful. You play with fire, and you're gonna get burned.
See, kind of the
how many of those can I have? How many more adages can I throw out there?
Well, let me ask you this: Is it a stretch to say he's kind of like the high school version of Lane Kiffin?
Lane Kiffin is just dramatic.
Yeah,
and public.
Yeah,
and this guy is
on social
different.
Media
allegedly.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's more of a fit for him than somewhere in the Metro Atlanta area. Now, him on a team in Metro Atlanta would be like, that would be nuts. He was on a team, and can you imagine that if he some school like Gwinnett or Cobb?
I would love it selfishly, just because then I can. Then it'd just be absolute chaos, and I'd go interview that guy. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
For people who don't know that are listening right now, we mentioned this name because the three of us know this. Who would you compare Russ Probst to that they would know, whether it's on the pro level, college level? What kind of coach would you say is as close to him as possible so they have an understanding of who we're talking about?
Pitino?
Honestly, yeah, okay. That's
fair. Not bad.
That's not bad. Bobby Petrino?
Yeah, they got some, but they keep showing up, right?
But Bobby Petrino doesn't win like Petino has.
Well,
in
Bobby,
passing.
But he keeps
Bobby
showing
Petrino,
up.
Bobby Petrino, I mean, he keeps getting a job, and
he ended up back
a job
in Arkansas.
Now.
Who just signed as an offensive coordinator? Chip Kelly, with who is it just signed? Here?
Northwestern.
Yeah. I guess, but it's nothing like, you know.
Yeah, but you do it at the high school level, and I mean it's. Those are formative years for young men, and I think that's
and that's
matter.
What the parents have to decide, right?
It's got to matter.
Your parents want to do that, but at the same time, you want your kid to get those looks from those college programs, and you know if you win, that's the other part of it. You hold your nose and say, all right, bring them on down. a couple of college games remind you about Georgia Tech at Duke today.
Yep.
Georgia Tech at 9-4, Duke at 11-1. It's a 4 o'clock start. Georgia State's up at Marshall today, 4 o'clock start. And tomorrow... Ah, man, Georgia Tech is hosting Notre Dame women at 4 o'clock. Watch out for Hannah Hidalgo. She's one of the best shows in college basketball. They're in town tomorrow, New Year's Day at 4 o'clock.
And if you can't get in front of the TV today, we got Hawks Minnesota. Tip at 3 o'clock, pregame at 2:30. It's Sam and Greg. We are in for the morning shift on this New Year's Eve. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg. We are in for the morning shift. Garrett just hit a nerve with this. He didn't know he hit it, but he hit a nerve. No, it was great. And he's doing it for a reason. I love this dude, man. He comes on here and he thinks a lot like me. It's the little things. It's the nuances that make life special. So we're talking about things we got to do here. And he points out to you, I was across the room, of how the sun is now hitting the buildings in Buckhead. And from our location, it's an incredible view.
Yeah.
Right? So he puts it on there. You know, here comes the sun. What you did know, Garrett, is every Sunday, when I started working with this dude back in the 50s, I would
back in the 50s.
I would play this song as soon as the sun broke. It would be that he would then know, you know, that hey, we're getting some sunshine here, because it was like, I'm trying to think what time we got in here, but it really looked like outer space. It was so dark.
Yeah.
And anyway, the sun coming up was a thing. But that's not why you called. Let's bring on our man Joe Patrick.
I know, that's right. Smoking Joe.
We need to thank Joe right off the rip.
Really, man.
Because by the way, did I do the official thing? Sam and Greg Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
That's who we are. And let's get to our man here.
All right, Joe.
Because he's good enough to
Joe, thank you.
What's up, guys?
Morning, man.
We're going to thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And we're going to send a big old cup of coffee over to you.
For getting up.
No, all good. All good.
Joe doesn't normally get up this early unless he's got to call a game, and he doesn't have to call a game today, and he made a special visit for us. And so we want to make sure we thank you.
I told Sam, these primetime games, Garrett was there too, and producing, Garrett was at that Monday Night Football game last night, or not last night. Feels like it's last night sometimes because of how much these primetime games mm-hmm. kind of intrude on the old sleaze schedule. We're there, in the media, we're there like 3 hours after the game ends still. So,
and traffic was horrendous getting out of it for some reason.
Yeah,
it was amazing. I said, maybe we interviewed everybody that was in there and get out, and traffic is like sitting. Man, it was Monday night, or people still going to places. I know one place not far away that the parking lot was quite packed, one establishment that's near the stadium. So a lot of people
Charles, I'm shoe modeling?
Oh yeah. Okay. That place was spinning, man. I passed by there. I said, boy,
shoe modeling.
I noticed y'all stopped long enough to see the people in there.
They couldn't get the cars on the parking lot, man. It was a jam trying to get over that place for tonight. Well, let's talk about what we got to see, Joe. And everybody's been asking why. Why couldn't we see this earlier in the season? Why do we have so much disappointment for a team that really lived up to its potential? In prime time against one of the best teams in the league. Why did that happen?
Yeah, it's a great question and one that it's like befuddling for a lot of Falcons fans. I think one of the reasons why we're seeing this team play a little bit more consistent in general, not even over these last three games they've won, and obviously, some of the games they've lost, you wouldn't say that's a good thing, like when they got blown out by the Seahawks 37-9. But, yeah, I think since Kirk Cousins has come over, taken over for Michael Penix with that unfortunate injury that's going to keep him out for a little bit, I think that things have stabilized a little. And I think that it took Zach Robinson a couple weeks, but he's gotten into a better flow of how to, game plan with Kirk Cousins as the quarterback. The offense looks a lot different. It looks a lot more normal, I would say, compared to other offenses around the NFL, just when it comes to the, under center game, kind of being back, the play action game, having more effect. We saw the screen game start to be more effective in this most recent game. And so those are the kinds of things that you hope you would have seen more so far this season. It's worth noting that the Falcons, there's been six games now that Kirk Cousins has been the starter, not including the Miami game earlier in the year, because that's when he was kind of thrown in at one point late in the week. So since he's been the regular starting quarterback, the Falcons have scored 24 more points in 5 to 6 games. It's only that Seahawks loss, that bad Seahawks loss, where they did not do that. And, in the first 10 games of the season, they only did that 4 times. Obviously, one of them was with him as the quarterback there for that Miami game. But it just goes to show that they have a little bit more offensive consistency, which is helping them. And then they're relying on that defense. And I think, guys, I'd kind of be interested to get your opinions on this, but with what they're doing here with Kirk Cousins and getting these wins, I think it goes to show that maybe like next year isn't just shot. I think that when Michael Penix went down with that injury, you just kind of say, oh, well, next year, there are no prospects for this team. But I think that they're showing that, for the first half of the season, if they're, playing without Penix, they can rely on a young defense that can actually get after the quarterback and, a run game that is obviously one of the most effective in the NFL when you have Bijan Robinson going like they did on Monday night. So maybe you do have some things going into next year where you're not completely in the tank, but, the team is going to have a vision and a clear vision as to kind of how they're going to go forward and manage their salary cap while trying to kind of build themselves back up.
That is Joe Patrick, co-host of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, along with Andy Bunker, joining us here. Getting up very early to join us this morning. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 Game, and for the morning shift. And by the way, Joe's visit and this whole hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Sam, book today at ZeroResAtlanta.com.
Yeah.
Earlier in the show, Garrett said that if Kirk Cousins was the quarterback from day one, this team would be playing in the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know about next year, and we can speculate. You know, assuming he was going to be healthy all year, but do you subscribe to that? You co-sign that he would have brought this team to the playoffs. And my question is, if that's the case, do you feel comfortable with him? I mean, where do you put him next year? Because if he's brought this team forward in a way that makes you feel like maybe this guy is still, you know, starting quarterback material, but yeah, we went and brought. I just think it's a quagmire that they have there at that position.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's tough, and I do agree with Garrett on this, that I do think that they would not have had some of these slip ups, you know, earlier in the season, and these games that they kind of sleptwalked into and were non competitive. You know, when you think about that game at Carolina in week three. We talked about that Miami game, which was a bit of a different can of worms because Drake London and Michael Penix were both ruled out like very late in the week on like Friday. And so they didn't really have a lot of time to game plan around that. But they obviously get blown out in that one. And you just kind of miss some opportunities earlier in the season. I think that the main thing, you know, obviously Kirk has experience and, you know, delivering the ball to certain guys throughout the year is an important factor, obviously, for a quarterback. And that's what he would have given you to an extent. But I think the bigger thing that you would have had with Kirk if he was the quarterback from week one is an ability to adjust week to week, get that good feedback from your quarterback, from your experienced quarterback to your offensive coordinator to try to sort out some of the things that aren't quite working so well and just kind of have a better understanding to get which plays are working for the team in certain situations. And I think that Kirk may have been better in for Zach Robinson in that respect. Because remember, you know, what were we talking about for so much of the season? Some of the gripes that Falcons fans had was with Zach Robinson and the ways that some of these games were being called with Michael Penix as the quarterback. And I think we're seeing, you know, fans, you know, just have a better appreciation for Zach and the games that he's called here as of late with Kirk Cousins as quarterback. So I think that that's the biggest reason why, yeah, I agree with Garrett that I think the team would ultimately be in better shape. And I think that there's going to be, and I think it's rightful criticism to wonder why the team felt like they had to make a permanent move that they did last season, about, you know, just before this time of year when they made that move off of Kirk Cousins, which I think was absolutely the right thing to do at that point in time, to go with Michael Penix for the rest of the year to give themselves a chance to potentially make the playoffs, which they almost did. I mean, this team was a whisker from making the playoffs last year with Michael Penix in those final three games. So I think that was the right move to make at the time, but I just don't know if they needed to make it like a full permanent move and, you know, kind of push Kirk out of the starting quarterback picture at that point in time.
Yep, and now comes the question is how he starts and who is your starter for next season. Folks, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning. On this New Year's Eve morning, I don't know if he's going to be up late tonight, but he's with us now.
I'll be up late. Ohio State Miami is playing. I'm a big Buckeye fan, so I'll be up keeping a close eye on that one.
There we go, boys. We got to finish with this Joe Patrick, and he is social. You have to find him at Joe Patrick, at Joe Patrick.
We got to make this one quick, though, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, go again.
All right. No, there's this Heroes from Monday night, Elijah Wilkinson. Talk about this guy a little bit. I mean, he's been in the line. He's had his moments. He's had his, you know, disappointments, some things that people were, like, you know, mad at him from times. He was thrown into a situation, and it was good to see Monday night and him get the recognition for having a really good game and playing a role in things that happened with the offense.
Yeah, he wasn't perfect, but, you know, great to see a player like him step up and, you know, have a big year and fill in a place where, remember, he was a backup guard heading into training camp before Caleb McGarry's injury happens. They were already without Storm Norton, the backup tackle over at that side. So really good to see a veteran like Elijah Wilkinson, who played for the Falcons a couple of years ago, come back and provide, you know, a crucial role for this team as a starting tackle. He's been the starting tackle all year long. It's a real testament to his versatility and ability to step in the pinch. And again, it hasn't been perfect, but I don't think anyone would have been expecting him to be perfect given the situation. I think he's done a great job with it.
This Sunday, if you can't get in front of a TV, we will have Falcons and Saints. And before that game, you got the pregame show. But before that, tune into this dude along with Andy Bunker. It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. And by then, he will have plenty of sleep. So he won't be getting up too early.
Yeah, he will. Yeah,
we will not. We can't thank you enough, buddy.
He'll be fresh.
He'll be fresh. But thanks, Joe, as always, buddy. Appreciate it.
All thanks, man.
Yep, thanks for having me on, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yep, you too.
We haven't been saying that enough. We really haven't. Anyway, coming up, there's money flying through the air. And apparently Garrett has got an answer for a little statement he made earlier about a movie. He found out what that was. We're going to talk about all that. And I got some trivia for you, Mr. Crenshaw. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg in from the morning shift. Now, Mr. Crenshaw, this is the answer to something that was discussed earlier in the show. And this is something Garrett brought up here. See, for those of you who are just listening, Garrett was one of our original producers, and then he went off to bigger and better things. But during the holidays, we've been reunited with Eric and Garrett. And when Garrett comes, it's a little different.
Dylan.
You know, it's like when you do shows, when Jason Longshore does shows with me, versus doing shows with you. It's just different. When Garrett comes in here, it's just different. So
it is.
What are we listening to, and remind people of the back and forth we had earlier?
So do you know this song?
I do not.
I don't either.
Oh, what?
I have no idea what this song is.
But
going back to something we talked about earlier, there was a film that came out, and it was a musician, a singer, who had a biopic made of himself.
Okay.
That he is a chimpanzee in this film. And the chimpanzee plays him. And he voices the chimpanzee in this movie. Hmm. And his name is Robbie Williams.
Oh, I heard of Robbie Williams.
The movie is called Better Man.
Yeah, I heard of Robbie Williams. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But I have no idea who this guy is.
No, I don't.
I don't know. So you guys are talking about biopics and everything else. But this is the certainly the most unique one of, I mean, like you have Queen and
Dylan. There's been a bunch.
All these other ones.
Springsteen.
I mean, you've got so many of them.
And Michael Jackson's around the corner with his nephew.
Exactly. And then there's this guy who considers himself to be this world superstar that nobody else really knows who he is, but he's big in England.
He popped in like the 90s. He was, he was on his way.
Like a little water balloon, but it's like.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. Maybe he was going to be. I'm trying to think of Michael Bublé-ish, but
he
not
gives me,
really.
He gives me, like, I don't know, weird, like, grandiose type of vibes. And I like the fact that he is a chimpanzee in the movie. It's because he views himself as a performing monkey, is what he said.
Well, that's.
And I learned that, and that's why he's doing his thing as a chimpanzee. Yeah. But I figured it was kind of appropriate for the casting call.
That's something. Yeah, and you're right. You're absolutely right there. And the entertainers do feel like dancing bears, chimpanzees. There's the famous story between Michael and Janet. Janet used to wear an earring that looked like a key. She wore it during the Rhythm Nation tour a lot, but she had a big key, and it was an earring of hers. And it was given to her by Michael, as the story goes, because when she wore it and performed, it was sort of her way of saying, okay, I got to go unleash the, unlock the animal so I can perform for them. That was the thought behind it. So that was the key that unlocked things. Sam and Greg again, in for the morning shift on this New Year's Eve. Let me tell you about where you can find the casting call right now, 929thegame.com/casting call. Also, get cast with Greg on X. Right now, it is all about behind-the-camera stuff. During the holidays, it's slow as far as projects being shot. Not everybody, but 90%+ of them are on hiatus during this period of time. They'll come back in January. So I spend this time directing you toward how to find the job opportunities behind the camera, starting at Georgia.org. So when you see the list, there's a link for that. There's one for the extras casting directors. Go to their social media pages. Some of these folks keep the doors open during this time of year because they just, you know, it was a kind of a slow year, so they got commercials being shot maybe up in Rome or Chattanooga or over in Augusta. We got the sports rev on this now. He'll let us know about stuff going on in Augusta.
Oh, yeah.
So check out the casting directors. Georgia Department of Labor, there's a link to that. So if you have a minor in the family or you are a minor but you want to get on set, you got to have that number, and then it's just fill out one sheet of paperwork. It'll be with you the next day. And a couple of voiceover connections. Bill Seller is an individual. Atlanta Voiceover Studio is a company, brick-and-mortar location. You can go workshops and They just do a little bit more at Atlanta Voiceover Studio. But Bill will take you from soup to nuts, everything you need if you want to put a demo together, classes, things like that. So check those out. If you got any questions about any of this stuff, greg.clarkson@odyssey.com. All right. I have a question for you, too, keeping it in the movie vein. Today, something very, very famous happened in the history of the Western Hemisphere. Now, think about everything from Canada all the way down to Argentina. Something happened on this day that was loosely depicted in one of the most famous movies of all time. A leader of a country stood in front of his cabinet on this day and said, "Adios, I'm going to bounce, and I'm getting out of here." That was, of course, the dictator of Cuba, Batista. That happened on this day. 1959 is the last new car you will see in Cuba, because that's when Castro took over.
Yeah,
1959.
They still don't have new cars.
There's no. Unless it's some company I don't know of, but you're not getting cars, new cars imported in there, with the exception of whoever the friendly countries are to Cuba. That's what you got. But that's kind of the other thing that's cool about that place. You go down.
So you won't see American cars.
No, but you won't see other ones too. I don't know, have the list in front of me. There's not a boycott by everybody, but
right.
That's when it started in 59. But my question to you is, what famous movie was that depicted in? That event was depicted in a very, very famous movie. I got you both stumped?
Yeah, man.
Really? All right, I can go to the first hint. It is considered the best remake of all time. In moviedom, it is considered the best sequel to its original. All right.
Shrek 2.
When you woke up this morning, did you think you'd actually have two Shrek references?
That's why
on
I brought it out.
This is.
I'll bring out Shrek 3 too.
This is the scene from Godfather 2.
Oh shoot! I was going to say freaking Godfather. Okay, good.
When Michael again Dad, when he finally catches Fredo.
Yeah.
Lying to him, and he gives him the kiss, and Fredo just like splits.
And that's a reference to this?
Well, that's what it was. The event.
I see.
Michael was in Cuba. He was negotiating with Hyman Roth. You know, all that was going on. And then that night is when the person in the movie who was playing the leader of Cuba said, "I'm going to leave," and so on and so forth. But that was literally what happened on this date, 1958, when dictator Batista
split. How about that?
And Castro was on his way in. And so that was depicted in Godfather 2. And Godfather 2 is considered the best sequel of
So it's time. Not Shrek.
No, it is not no. Shrek. Okay. It is not Shrek.
Or Rocky.
Yeah. They do that. I mean, Francis Ford Coppola was smooth about weaving these people that were real-life folks that were a part of these things, but not mentioning them literally. We all know Johnny Fontaine is supposed to be Sinatra in the first one, and actually all three of them. We know that Hyman Roth is supposed to be Meyer Lansky. We know these people are supposed to be, but that's how he wrote it. Anyway, that's what I got. So I'm gonna throw that. That's my movie stuff, man.
You buying a paper today?
If I buy one, it'll be the first one I bought in years.
Today is the last print.
Of?
The people across the street.
Well, the people listening don't know what's across the street from us.
Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
It's the last one. You can't go to airport.
Today is the last print condition. Garrett, are you going to get a paper today?
I think I might go grab
when
one.
When you say it like that, yeah.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
How it's many, going to an all-digital format.
All digital.
You see that building over there?
All digital.
I want a go-kart because they got no desks in that place. It's huge. And I want to just buzz around inside the AJC. And this monstrosity of a building was it the railroad had it before this?
Yeah.
Norfolk Southern?
Well, I'm not sure they're using all of it.
No, they just have the first like two floors.
Yeah.
On the right side.
They're not using all of it, man.
No, the ones upstairs. A whole lot of open the ones area. Upstairs are all Visa. That's all rented out stuff, and they just haven't leased out all the floors
well,
yet.
Well, I'm looking at two floors here that are wide open.
Yeah, they haven't leased out all the floors
yet. They are welcoming for a go-kart to go in there.
Yeah.
Or paintball. That stuff. That too.
What do you think should be included in the last paper for Atlanta?
The question is, how big will it be? Obviously, you're talking like a Sunday paper and more, but the pullouts that would be available.
Because I would think there would be some, like you said, some collectible pullouts.
96 Olympics.
96 Olympics. I'll just talk about the sports teams. We're here talking sports.
Yeah, you have the World Series in 95 and 21. You have the Dogs national titles. I mean, how long has the AJC been running print? 120 years?
Over 100.
It's been a long time. I mean, I'd imagine it's been a very, very long time. So you can go Cinquich, man.
Constitution, 1868. The Journal, 1883.
How about that? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
You got a lot of history, man.
A lot of history.
I mean, you said 1863?
Yeah.
I mean, that's William Tecumseh Sherman. You're in Sherman territory
1868, and then 1883.
Okay. So maybe not quite.
Not quite, but you're kind of close.
Just about. That's how long, just putting it in perspective for folks, that's how long they've been running print.
So think about this. What are off the top of your head, what are a couple versions that you'd like to see? A couple editions. I'd like to see the issue that came out after the Braves were granted. Atlanta was granted a baseball team.
Baseball team, obviously.
Football team. That's both 66, right?
For our line of work, I like to know when the folks down the block were the first radio station, first broadcast entity.
Yeah. Welcome South Brother.
Welcome South Brother, WSB. So that's I'm sure would like to see something documented as far as that goes.
No, I'll definitely not. I mean, you mentioned it. I'm running up the Flowery Branch after we're done here. I'm going to stop off at the Publix and make sure I snag one of those.
I gotta figure that one of the biggest ones in the country was the day that Jimmy Carter was elected.
Very much.
The next
very
day.
Very much.
I actually heard IJ Rosenberg. I saw this on Facebook. IJ Rosenberg has his own feature in this one.
Yeah.
Our buddy, friend of the program.
Some people who was formerly covered the Braves beat for years. So, I mean, that you have that in there as well.
You have famous articles by people who, maybe no longer with us, but, Furman Bischer.
I think we may see some Furman Bischer.
We
may see a Louis Grizzard or something.
Grizzard.
We may see something like that.
I first moved here, and the first thing I laughed at was moon pies and an RC.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard of nothing like that up in Chicago. And I come down here, and somebody goes, "You got to listen to Louis Grizzard. Who's that?" "Oh, he's famous." I said, "I ain't never heard of him before."
Yeah, man.
And they gave me his moon pie and an RC.
Yep.
And I just cracked up. I just thought that was funny, right? So I always and I loved the way he talked. And then didn't he do a minute with some station on a regular basis, like Jim Huber, by the way, rest in peace.
He was
there for a little bit, but didn't he come on and do a comment on a TV station, a radio station, Louis Grizzard?
I'm not gonna say he didn't.
Yeah.
But just remarkable. But when you think about the AJC down through the years, obviously the events with this being the hub of the civil rights movement, so much of that would be documented in a special way today.
And who's that boy that we always, Terrence?
Who?
Oh, Terrence, the columnist for AJC.
Terrence Moore?
Terrence Moore, thank you.
Terrence Moore?
So, anyway. Well,
you ought to have something great from D-Led in there, too.
Thank you, and I'm glad you brought that up because I hadn't thought about it, but now everybody's going to go out and get themselves an AJC today.
Well, maybe we'll encourage them to do it. It's a collectible.
You just did.
Yeah.
Garrett, we got a special guest coming up. We want to thank you for this. If you do not know the story of, and I want to make sure I get this right, because Mike actually reached out, and he told me a little something. The nickname that the folks at Auburn gave him, the Auburn family.
Mm-hmm.
Touchdown Maker. That's what the name means.
How about that?
Touchdown Maker.
Yeah.
We're going to welcome in. Say his name again.
Mike Lutzenkirchen.
He will be joining us next.
Yes.
Sam and Greg, in for the morning shift on this last day of 2025. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.